Right. Today's scripture is from Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The word of God for the people of God.
Well, I have to laugh or freak out or whatever because, I've been sitting in on Sarah's Sunday school class here lately, and every time I come in, Sarah says, oh, the principal's here, right? Well, and then I come into worship, and the superintendent's here. So I can relate this morning. I always think, hey, don't worry about it. I'm just here to support. And now I'm like, oh, yeah, you can't help the feeling. I think it's some irony as well because of what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about that fear that gets in your head that's sometimes unreasonable, which is completely what I suffer from. And so even now I get to suffer from it. So last week we started a new sermon series on healing our wounds. Jesus shared with his disciples that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, your body, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so with our head, we do our thinking. With our hearts, we do our feeling. With our bodies, we kind of do our sensing. And then you have this spirit within you that is the seed portion of your eternal self. And so this is really an ancient understanding of personhood. It's an ancient understanding of head, heart, and body, and spirit. And so to be a whole person and follower of Christ means to live fully within your head and your heart and your body, and to likewise love your neighbor as yourself, and love your neighbor in those very same ways that you love yourself. And yet, at a young age, we likely received a wound, or we were harmed in a way that caused us to get stuck, and to actually prefer one of those areas, to feel safest within our head, or within our heart, or within our body, and essentially kind of getting stuck. And it may be a wound you can remember from childhood that really hurt you deeply. It may be a wound that you don't remember, but it was there, and it affected you deeply. It formed your very personality, the person that you are today. For many of us, we think, feel, and act primarily out of these ancient ways of describing us as head people, heart people, body people. Though it's not uncommon, I think as I do this series, from week to week, I think you'll find something in it that you relate to in every one of them. You'll relate to some aspect of it. Though there's going to be one that I think you're really going to be most comfortable in, that's going to really connect with you. And so this week, we're talking about the wound that occurred within the head, right? The human brain is the most amazing supercomputer in all our known universe, perhaps only second to the universe itself. It is a hyper-predictive organic computer that helps us survive and thrive on Earth, which is why there's like 2.5 billion people throughout all the world, because it is very successful. It has the keen ability to take past memories, to store them, and then to learn from them in a predictive fashion for your future. This gives us the ability to take past mistakes and traumas and hopefully avoid them in the future. That's what we don't want to happen again to us, which is an exceptional ability. This is exceptional, except when you want to shut the fear motor off, right? I don't know if I got any 2 a.m. people here that know what I'm talking about, but that's what I'm talking about. When you want to stop thinking about all the things that could go wrong in your future, when you want to stop thinking about the past and how your future might have been completely different had some things in the past gone better for you, had gone your way, right? Father Richard Rohr, in his book, Breathing Underwater, says that Alcoholics Anonymous, for those of you that are familiar, have a phrase about this very thing, and the phrase is stinking thinking. Stinking thinking. Stinking thinking is the addiction to negative thought patterns that happens so easily for us about ourselves, about the world, about other people. And it's actually a form of self-sabotage, because sometimes you don't do, it's kind of like the Apostle Paul saying, what it is I want to do, I can't do. It's only what I don't want to do that I, right? And so the things that we want to do, we sometimes aren't able to do. We sabotage ourselves before we ever actually get into it, before we ever try it. And much of the Psalms in the Old Testament is an effort of the followers of God to firmly place their security of God in their heads, to get it here. Though I walk through the valley of darkness, I will fear no evil. For you, God, are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Because God, I hate to tell you this, I hate to remind you, I went through this dark valley a couple of weeks ago, I got jumped by a couple of thugs, and I'm a little nervous right now, right? But I'm trusting you that this time you're going to be with me, right? This is the challenge and lifelong commitment of loving and trusting God with your mind, so that you can also learn to love and trust Him with your heart and with your body, with all of who you are. And so the mind craves assurances and absolutes, but for those of us that have been around for a while, most of us can agree there are just very few absolutes in life. There seem to be few absolutes. And yet God is absolutely always with us. He always has been, regardless of the exceptions your brain desires to point out to you. God is always with you. The head says to us as faith people, this God thing is good. Let's do that. But let's have some contingency plans in place just in case. Right? That's what the head's doing. Head people who are stuck or received a deep wound at some point in their life that they struggle to heal from, they tend to be fearful of everything because they see how everything can go wrong. That's what life has indicated to them, is that everything can go wrong. And so you tend to think only a great thoughtful plan will save you and your loved ones. And so you're always thinking about the plans. So let's have a little fun with this. Let's have some fun with this. You remember Jeff Foxworthy's "you might be a redneck" jokes, right? Like, you might be a redneck if your cousin, your wife are the same person. I don't know if, right? That was one of them. So let's do this with "you might be a head person if." And we can laugh, try not to point. I'd ask my wife to please not point when I go over these, right? Because I can unfortunately relate. You might be a head person if you really have too many canned goods and non-perishable items stocked up in the pantry just in case, right? You might be a head person if you check your bank and investment accounts nearly every day just to make sure it's still there, right? You might be a head person if you have a backup item for anything that can run out in your house: toothpaste, shampoo, propane, batteries, whatever. Some of you have backups to your backups, right? You might be a head person if you have cash hidden in your vehicle and in your home, and you have a secret account in the Netherlands that nobody knows about, right? You could be who I'm talking to today. You might be a head person if you have a panic room in your home and you live in Lebanon. Not Chicago, not St. Louis, Lebanon. If you don't know what a panic room is, you're probably not a head person, right? You might be a head person if you never make a purchase over $50 without doing at least 10 hours of research on the product or service before you do it, right? Like, that's kind of a heady, trying to be sure. Last one. You might be a head person if you hand out an hour-by-hour itinerary to everyone going on vacation with you, or if you're going on vacation with someone else, you request an hour-by-hour itinerary at least a week before traveling, right? Not to point fingers. Now, in full transparency, that last one could show up in our conversation about body or control people, right? Sometimes it's control people that want the hour-by-hour itinerary, because sometimes people do similar things for different motivations. Isn't that funny? Similar things, different motivations. Once again, the motivations for head people comes from a sense of insecurity and scarcity. There's just not enough. There's not enough for me. How do I make sure I have what I need, that I'm safe, that my loved ones are safe? How do I make sure that all will be well for me and mine in the future? I recently read a book, The Seven Primal Questions by Mike Foster. Foster is a business coach, counselor, spent a lot of time researching people that get stuck in something. And it creates this habitual pattern of doing and trying to overcome this fear and this wound, right? And so he expanded a bit Jesus' list of three things to seven things. But insecurity is on his list too, right? And so one of his clients, who he talked about in his book, one of his clients was a CEO of a billion-dollar medical equipment company. Billion with a B, right? He was a man who had $500 million in his own personal assets. $500 million. He met with Foster in order to get some help. He wanted to step out of his CEO position in order to focus on aspirations, opportunities. He wanted this new season of life. He wanted to focus on new things. And so when Foster met with him and asked him what was keeping him from just doing it, from stepping into this new role and doing these new things, the man responded this way. He said, "What if I don't have enough to support my family once I resign?" He said, "What if the company that I've raised up that's doing so well does poorly and then they have to let go of people because I'm not there?" Now, I mentioned that he had $500 million in assets, right? 500. And we could look at that and we could talk about it and we could say, well, this man's just greedy. He's just greedy, right? But what is it that spurs greed? What is it that spurs this desire to accumulate? What is it that would cause someone with $500 million to still worry that they don't have enough for what they need in the future? In our teaching passage, Jesus warns his disciples about storing up treasures on earth. Jesus warns them that this thing can happen, that things can go wrong when you accumulate. The stuff you accumulate, it can rot, it can go bad, it can get lost. He says it could get stolen, people steal. Now, maybe you heard about the $30 million stolen from a money-holding facility in Los Angeles on Easter morning. Right now, personally, I'm skeptical of anything called a money-holding facility. Like, here in the Midwest, we call that a bank. So I'm not sure what was going on there, but there were people that had $30 million invested that's now gone, right? Jesus's point is this: be careful what you focus on in life and where your trust lies. Be careful. It's as if Jesus can see in people's eyes. He said, if your eyes are healthy, then your whole body will be full of light. So church, let's not be foolish. What you focus on will consume you from the inside out. If you think that fear in your mind will subside, and we do, we think this will subside once I have enough money, once I have enough things, once I have enough, then the feeling will subside. If that is your thought, then you're blind to what the problem actually is. You're kind of blind to the problem that's actually occurring within you. And it's kind of like a young couple, and I hear this all the time, young couples that get married, and they say, well, once we're financially stable, then we're going to have kids. Right? You heard that before? Once you're financially stable? Around these parts, people that old, we call them grandparents. But if you're fine with your kid graduating when you're 65 years old and going on Medicare, like that's your prerogative. That's fine. People with the fearful wound to the head never feel ready enough. We never feel prepared enough. We never feel financially stable enough. So whatever someone's supposed to do who kind of grew up and still has this insatiable feeling that you never have enough to feel safe and secure, well, you learn to trust God. I mean, just to make it really simple for you and me, we learn to trust God. For those who were here last week, I introduced the welcoming prayer. Marcia said they're available at different places. The welcoming prayer, it's a different prayer. It's meant to minister to those who recite it in a completely different way than most of the prayers that we tend to pray. It's just a little different. And the prayer is about radical acceptance, which is sometimes why we pray, generally why we're not praying. It's not radical acceptance. So for those of you who, like me, have that fearful feeling from your head down to your toes, you need to know that in some ways that feeling is a part of who you are. It's a part of who you are. And I don't actually have the God solution that just takes the feeling away. I think it can get reduced. But I think to some extent those things inside of us are part of who we are. What I do have is the prayer that reminds you to be radically accepting of the deficiencies in your life, because I think those things are there to glorify God. They're there to glorify God. Despite the fearful thoughts of never having enough, you must know and believe that God is always with you. He's always with you. If you had nothing right now, if I had nothing right now in Christ, we have everything that we need. Your faith in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is sufficient. It is sufficient to support and provide for you in your life, in me, in my life. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, Jesus, he's preparing a whole bunch of disciples to go out and minister. He gathers, it's like a campaign. It's like the Jesus Christ campaign. It's getting ready to begin. And so he gathers 72 disciples to himself. He sends them out in pairs, right? Two at a time. He said to them, go, I am sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. Which is exactly how a bunch of us here feel all the time, right? I get that. I feel that. Like you're surrounded by dangerous wolves. All the time, you always need to be on guard, all the time. Now, if we were maybe one of the 72 disciples, we would say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to go, but I'm going to go in a group of four, not a group of two, right? Four, not two, because brothers Smith and Wesson are coming as well, right? Brothers Smith and Wesson. And I'm not going to face the wolves without all of us, which is funny. It's funny, except that this is a very real fear for us as Christian Americans today. It's a very real fear that we experience all the time. A fear that we might not be prepared if someone comes against us, if someone comes against our loved ones. A love that God's strength and love and salvation would not be enough in that moment, or maybe the moments thereafter, if there are repercussions to that moment. When Jesus sent his disciples out to minister amongst the wolves, he told them, take nothing with you. Do not take purse or bag or sandals. Don't take anything. Take no provision for you. Take nothing extra. Let people see that you have less than you need when you're traveling. Like you should have more. I'm telling you, take less. Because God your Father, he will be your provision. He will make sure that you have what you need. Trust in him. Trust God. It is this mysterious metaphor that you receive when you take communion. Every month when you take communion, this is this mysterious metaphor that we celebrate as United Methodists. You are eating, and you're eating bread, you're drinking juice, but it's supposed to remind you that your life is in fact not sustained by food, but by the body and blood of Jesus Christ and him with us at all times. The radical acceptance, for those of you like me who have this head wound, is that your fear of this world, it may always be with you. The fear may always be with you. And friends, what's unfortunate, there's not a level of isolation that will keep you safe and healthy, because I mean, isolation leads to its own problems. And if I've got folks watching online this morning, I mean, maybe you know what I'm talking about right now. This isolation that actually becomes more problematic for us. I hope not, but maybe so. And friends, you won't find a book of plans or doomsday scenarios for every problem that will happen in your life. Like you can't put that book together. There's possibly, this is a COVID reference. There's possibly not enough toilet paper or water or canned goods that you can store somewhere that'll get you through the next unknown sickness that comes our way, COVID variant 25, 36X. We just don't know. And fortunately, there is the radical acceptance and belief that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is always with you. And we can believe and choose this. God alone will sustain you. God alone will get you through the hardships that await you, that are coming in the valley of the shadow of darkness. Because you are his beloved son. You are his beloved daughter. And he will never depart from you. He will never abandon you. Jesus is your companion. The Holy Spirit is your guide. The Father is doing Father stuff in your life and for you. And so before we read the welcoming prayer together, can we take a moment and ground our fearful, busy minds in the assurance of our faith? In this moment, in this day, that it might sustain you, that it will sustain you through the rest of this week. So can we bow our heads? Would you bow with me? Would you just take a breath? Would you know that God alone sustains you? Would you think now, God sustains me? Would you think to yourself, he is faithful to me? And would you think to yourself, God will never abandon me? Ground yourself each morning, each day, each week, each month, each year in these thoughts. Let them lead you. Trust them. Know that they are true. And if you would bring your head up and if you would join me in saying the welcoming prayer together. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I welcome everything that comes to me in this moment, because I know it is for my healing. I welcome thoughts, feelings, emotions, persons, situations, and conditions. I let go of my desire for security. I let go of my desire for approval. I let go of my desire for control. I let go of my desire to change any situation, condition, person, or myself. I open to the love and presence of God and His healing power and action within. Amen. And now let us stand and sing together.